How about what's the verse that tells about the graded realms? That there are various realms. Going. Okay, what verse is that? What number? 5.43. Okay. And that's on page 80. Goloka namni nijanamni kaleka sasya devi mahesha haridam suteshu teshu ete kabala nijadami nasena. Okay. Now, don't look. Everyone put your book down, but somebody in the future can volunteer to tell what the graded realms are. Okay, give him the microphone. Raise your hand and take the microphone. Here you go.
The lowest is the Devi Dham.
Why is it the what's the characteristic of Devi Dham? What about it? You want to say something about it?
That's where nobody cares for Lord Vishnu and he goes to sleep. And above that is the abode of Mahesh Dham. And above that is abode of Lord Hari Dham. And above all of that is Krishna's own abode of Goloka Vrindavan.
Okay, who could say something about Mahesh Dham or about Mahesh himself? What about Mahesh? Okay, Karna. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to discourage you.
We were reading that he's the dim twilight reflection of the Supreme Personality.
Which pundit can find that? Where it says he's the dim twilight reflection. Go ahead, keep going while somebody finds it.
There's another verse that says that just like yogurt, it's different from milk, but it's also the same as milk. So Mahesh is the same as Hari. Is a transformation for associating with the material energy.
So let's find the dim twilight reflection first, because that's less known, and then we'll find the more famous verse about how he's a transformation for the work of... Yes. So Mahesh, he's described in the Brahma Samhita as the... when Mahavishnu makes his glance at the material world, he glances over the material world and impregnates it, basically. And there's a transformation that takes place at that time. Actually, the incarnation of his glance is the Shambhu. And Shambhu then has a great deal to do with the creative function of the material world. And he's described as the dim twilight reflection of the effulgence of the Lord himself. Yes, so it's an incarnation of the effulgence. So where's that verse? What is it? Gate number eight on what page?
19.
Okay, so pass the microphone over to Ramaswamy. Is everything okay, George?
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
The secondary process of association with Maya is described. Ramadevi, the spiritual chit potency below the concept of the Supreme Lord, is the relatrix of all entities. The divine presence of Krishna creates the mundane world. At creation, there appears a divine halo of the nature of his own subjective portion, samsara. This halo is divine Shambhu, the masculine symbol or manifested emblem of the Supreme Lord. This halo is a dim twilight reflection of the Supreme Eternal Effulgence. This masculine symbol is a subjective portion of divinity, who functions as progenitor of the mundane world, subject to the supreme regulatrix deity. The conceiving potency in regard to the mundane creation makes her appearance out of the supreme regulatrix. She is Maya, the limited, non-absolute, apara potency, the symbol of the mundane feminine productivity. The intercourse of these two brings forth the faculty of perverted cognition, the reflection of the seed of the procreative desire of the Supreme Lord.
Okay, and let's give the microphone to Karnath. He can just give a little commentary on that.
Well, it's interesting, we see here that the creator of the Lord is Krishna. This is confirmed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the song Tumi Sarveshwarishwara, that he's creating. But how is he creating? He has a plenary portion that creates the mundane world, which is Mahesh, the divine halo. the halo is Shambhu. Like Vaish was saying, it's also discussed earlier how it, the Lord never consorts directly with the material energy, but still he's connected to her because he glances at her during the process of creation. That glance is this dim twilight reflection of the supreme eternal effulgence. That is when the spiritual energy is actually contacting material energy. So there's a different feature, which is the Lord Shiva, that he's the Supreme Lord that contacts material energy. So he's as we discussed earlier, he's the same as, but different from Vishnu, because Vishnu doesn't contact the material energy. Then there's the material energy herself appears out of the spiritual energy. So she's Maya. She appears out of the supreme regulatrix is Radharani or Lakshmi. And then the conceiving potency in the material world is Maya. She's an expansion of that supreme regulatrix. So just like Vishnu has his consort Lakshmi, so Shiva has his consort Maya, and they're the progenitors of the mundane creation.
Thank you very much. And then we're talking about the other verse in relationship to Shambhu, which is how it explains that he's almost the Supreme Personality of God. It just transforms slightly because of his contact with the material energy. And which verse is that? And the verse number?
45.
Page 45. Page 84. Text number 45. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither same as nor different from its cause, milk, so I adore the prime evil Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. So there's another description of Shambhu. They charge you the right price?
Yeah.
Okay. They just don't understand your badge, right?
Yeah, because they switched the number by one, so they couldn't find it in the computer. It was,
okay.
I had the old badge, so everything worked out.
Okay, thanks. Okay, Shamlila, you ask us a question now.
Sorry?
You ask a question. Where is such and such in the Brahma Samhita?
<It's in jeopardy>.
Ask us where to find something. Like, where is such and such a thing in the Brahma Samhita? But use the microphone.
Where in Brahma Samhita it is described that in the spiritual world there is no passing away of time.
We have an ace up here in the front row. We're going to have to count him out too pretty soon. Anybody else know? Besides anybody in the front row? Where there's no passing away of time even for the space of half a moment. How the front row is counted out right now. Yes. Okay, we'll look at it. Give us word for word, nice and slow, like we were 7. Six. 56. Text 56. Thank you. Just give us the words we need, the word for word. Can you use the mic? Make us chant it back. Say chant, and then we repeat.
Nimesh Ardha.
Nimesh Ardha.
Half a moment.
Half a moment.
Akya.
Akya.
Called.
Va.
Or.
Vrajati
passes away.
Na,
not.
He
certainly.
Yatra,
where.
Api,
even.
Sameha,
time.
Give the meaning.
I worship the transcendental seat.
Just that part.
Just that part. Mm-hmm. There is eternal existence of transcendental time who is ever present and without past or future and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away even for the space of half a moment.
So let's just discuss that for a minute. What does that mean?
We're out of time.
Sorry, we don't have time. Ramaswamy, give him the microphone.
It says here that there is no passage of time, but in another context in Srimad Bhagavatam. There was some story where Lord Shiva was trying to going after Lord Sun God because he offended one of his devotees, and the Sun God, you know, goes all over the places. He goes to Brahma. Brahma couldn't give any protection, and he goes to Vaikuntha, the Sun God, and then there Vishnu. Lord Vishnu, he gives him protection. He says, I don't want to stay here.
I mean, Durvasa Muni offended Ambarish Maharaj.
No, not Shiva.
Oh, the Shiva story. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry.
Lord Shiva is chasing Sun God.
Uh-huh.
So Sun God goes to the Vaikuntha. There, Lord Vishnu gives him protection. Just stay here, and then everything will be taken care of. And then Lord Shiva comes. And then Lord Shiva says, then Lord Vishnu asks Lord Shiva, okay, how are you? And all those things, just, you know, usual questions he asks. And then finally Lord Shiva says that Sun God offended one of my devotees. And now, I cannot tolerate this, so what about that? And then Lord Vishnu says that, okay, just cool down, half an hour has already passed in Vaikuntha. Not only that devotee who was offended, who Sun God offended, but his sons and grandsons as well, you know, their entire, I don't know, maybe like a couple of generations already passed away on the earth. So there is no point in discussing that issue anymore. So there is here some difference to the time in Vaikuntha, half an hour has passed. And that's what I'm trying to put this in this context. But here it says that there is no passing away of time.
Mm-hmm. So, so you're wondering what's the difference between those two things. Well, the time in the material world is relative, and there's a discussion of time, actually. I remember when the Bhagavatam first came out, that section of the Bhagavatam was calculation of time by the atom, and it had just come out, and Srila Prabhupada was commenting on that at the time. It's very interesting. There's a relative sense of time in the material world, whereas being discussed here is there's no passing away of time, even for the space of half a moment, is that the devotees in Raj, it's not that there's, you know, that it's impersonal or there's no passing of time. For instance, there's no sense of passing of time because as, for instance, Lord Chaitanya explains that when he's feeling separation from Govinda, yugayitam nimishena chakshusha pravishayitam shunyayitam jagatsarvam govinda varahena me, that a moment appears, feels like 12 years or more. So there's some reference to time in feeling separation from Govinda. You know, time's passing. And it's also a description of how there's a moon, days and nights going on, but all this is for the purpose of creating the Leela in Goloka Vrindavan. And it's not related to the passing of time, which is in relationship to the a false enjoyment in the material world, which is relative. And when there's some description of how there's a passing of time in the spiritual world, that's it's in relationship to the Leela of Krishna. And it's not a relative time like it is here. You want to say more about it, Akarna?
Well, in the material world, there is passing of time, and that story that was being quoted illustrates that everything in the material world that we think is so important now, in millions of eons, and you know, after generations and total creations and destructions, will be completely insignificant. It'll all be over. Everything in the material world has a beginning and an end, and it has a duration for a specific amount of time allotted for it by its fate, by its destiny, that's completely different from the illuminated activities of the spiritual world, which take place completely beyond the realm of this three modes of nature. Mode of ignorance is associated with destruction, and everything in material world has a destruction born along with its creation. It has its duration of time. That material time that we're experiencing is due to our contaminated consciousness, is due to our association with the three modes of material nature, that only the material things are taking place within those three modes, but the actual devotional service takes place on the Brahma-Buddha platform, completely beyond that.
In the Leela of Krishna, with devotees in relationship to Krishna may have can live within one practically frame, as we describe it here, one frame of time, practically. And in the descriptions of Goloka Vrindavan in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, we find that when Gopakumar goes back to Godhead and he's entering into Goloka Vrindavan, practically, he doesn't see any difference between Gokula Vrindavan, where he was on Earth, supposedly on Earth, but it's a manifested Dham, and he can't see any difference at first in Goloka Vrindavan. It looks practically the same, except for the... then he starts to realize, like, when he first enters into Goloka Vrindavan, he asks somebody, an old man who's there, where he can find Krishna, and he's looking for the son of Nanda Maharaj, and the man doesn't speak to him. And at first he thinks, like, who are the people here? They won't speak back to me when I ask them something. And then it's revealed, actually, that these people are stunned because out of separation, because Krishna has already gone to the forest for the day. And the rest of the town, practically, they're almost not moving because Krishna is away in the forest for the day, and then they're feeling so much separation while he's away. And then they see that the Krishna is coming back from the forest with all his cows and friends, and they can see from the cloud of dust, you know, coming towards the city. And then the life starts to come back to Goloka Vrindavan. And the point was that, you know, this verse, Sriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpa Taravo, it's describing, in this context, that there's no passing away of time, the space of half a moment, activity in the spiritual realm. So it's hard to distinguish when we're used to activity that's related to karma. And if we look at a number line, karma is compared to negative numbers. So we're acting, but as we're acting, we're incurring debt more and more. We're becoming more entangled. You're digging yourself deeper. Like they say, when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. So then there comes that philosophy that, stop digging then and come to zero, which comes to more of the nihilistic idea that, okay, material nature, it's negative numbers. The more you work, the more you act, everything you do here, you become entangled. Again, he realizes this and stops digging. And can come to this by his own speculation, can come to the point of zero. But there's another kind of activity which goes into the positive numbers. And this has to do with what's described in this verse and how there's no passing away of time, even though it appears there is in the realm of activity where devotees are dancing, they're speaking, and they say, well, that's passing of time, that's going on, it's activity. But it's a different kind of activity, the kind of activity that takes place when you're full. In the material world, it means I need something. I'm lacking something. There's a bumper sticker that says, I owe, so off to work I go. And that's the activity of the material world. That because I owe something from before, or I lack something, I'm off to get my education, I'm off to, buy something. I'm trying to stop some kind of misery, like I'm trying to turn off that alarm that's going on. So there's always some kind of thing that I'm working against. Everyone check their keys. However, when one's full, then some philosophers say when you're full, there's complete silence. You don't move. But there's another kind of full, or there's another kind of movement that takes place within fullness. And what is that? It's joy. It's celebration. That's what lila means, and that's what's going on in the spiritual world, and that's the apparent passing of time there. Like when you dance out of joy, you're full. And you're not moving out of need, or it's out of celebration. This is why dance, poetry, music is so attractive in this world, because actually it comes closest to expressing the actual nature of the soul, which is joy. This is anandamayo bhyasat. Ananda means fullness. Material life means I'm hankering, I'm lamenting. This means passing of time because I'm hankering, I'm thinking of the past. I'm thinking of the future. When I'm hankering, I'm thinking of the future. I got to have this, I have to have this, I have to. That's in the future. And Prahlad Maharaj says that the nature of this world is we're always dreaming of future happiness. And he says, Kutra Shrisha Shruti Sukham Mrigatrishni Rupa Kvedam Kalevanam Ashesha Rujam Vriroha. He asked the question for those who are hankering, looking towards the future for some happiness. He says, where is it? When do you actually get it? It's a mirage called a mrigatrishni rupa, something that appears to be real, but it's not. And therefore, he says, the happiness, shruti sukham, you hear about it, but you never actually get it. I heard about it. Did you hear about it? I heard about it. Did you get it? I didn't get it yet, but I'm going to get it. And it's sort of in the future, I'm going to get it, and you keep going. And this is activity on the material side, the negative numbers, always going. And in the process, I'm becoming more and more in debt. And so he asked this question, where is it? We're in the material world, you can't find it. And then I'm lamenting, and this is the past. The mind is hankering, lamenting. And in the past, I'm thinking, I could have done this. I should have had that. If I had only done this, then I would have been more like this. So past, future, but the position of present means to be full. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Shochatina Kangshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. At that point, when we're not hankering and lamenting, we can actually enter into this position of real activity or joy, which starts with this verse, Sriya Kanta Kanta Paramapurusha Kalpatro. Where you're working, you're moving, you're dancing, you're singing, you're talking, but everything's on the positive side. Everything's in positive numbers because you actually know the center. You know the purpose for your activity. It's not out of lack, and it's not out of exploitation. It's out of service. And this is accounts for time not passing, although it appears to be passing because it's happening in the spiritual realm. And this great debate, which takes place throughout the Vedas, and the prayers personified Vedas have discussed, is the supreme truth saguna or nirguna? Is he with quality or is without quality? And they conclude that, yes, he's with quality. He's saguna. He has all qualities. He's the supreme person from whom everything emanates. Om purnam adak purnam idam purnat purnam udachate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vishishyate. He's completely full in himself, So all the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he doesn't need anything, but he's acting anyway. And when you don't need anything and you're acting anyway, this is activity in the spiritual realm where you're, we say Krishna's pastimes. Wait a minute, that's passing time. No, it's passing time, eternal time, which is, it never comes to the end. But as Akurnath Prabhu so nicely pointed out, you know, here, this pleasure, yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukayonayevate adyantavanta konteya na teshu ramate buddha, that because on the relative plane, we think of things in terms of the bodily conception. There's a beginning and an end, and therefore it's very temporary, fleeting, miserable, and what we try to hang on to goes away. But Krishna's pastimes are never, they never end. There's a deity on Govardhan Hill, near Govardhan Hill, of a devotee who had come to wait for Krishna. And that deity, he's standing there waiting. So Krishna had gone away just for a little while. He was going to be right back, and he never came back. And so that deity, in a kind of ecstasy, this devotee is standing waiting. Huh?
Lota Baba.
Lota Baba, yeah. Can you tell about him? You know about that deity? Did you go there? No, no, say.
When Krishna was leaving for Mathura, naturally all the Vrijvasis were very sad, and one of them was Lota Baba, a dear friend of Krishna. So Lota Baba told Krishna, "Krishna, I have invited you for lunch. So, you know, please come, I'll wait for you." So Krishna said, "Yes, yes, I come." Lota Baba said, "Please come, I'll wait for you." Krishna was moving in the chair, to the best of my knowledge, and Lota Baba, as he was moving away, Lota Baba insisted, "You have to come, you have to come." And Krishna told him, "Yes, I'll come." So and then Lota Baba said, "I'll wait here till you come." That's my little understanding.
Yes, and he's waiting there in ecstasy. You know, this waiting for Krishna, this was the mood of the Goswamis, that, you know, not that they were seeing Krishna, but they were waiting for, looking to see Krishna everywhere. And this is the ecstasy of feeling separation from Krishna. This waiting of Lota Baba in the positive side, and in out of pure bhakti, is different from waiting at the post office. And they'll say, "Why won't they hurry up? Get U.S. Postal Service. It's the government. Can't they, you know, get one more person to open it?" You're there for half an hour and they're taking someone. You know, this is the waiting in the material world. It's full of anxiety and on to the next thing. But Lota Baba in the positive side of pastimes, of so-called passing time of the spiritual world, you can be waiting in one place, but in complete ecstasy. There's no passing of time. He can be eternally waiting there for Krishna in that mood. So this, you know, this passing of time is all relative to one's relationship with Krishna, or if one's in the bodily conception of life, ritertam ya pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani tadvidyara manomayam yata bhaso yata tamaha. If it appears to be have artha or value, if it's not in relationship to the Supreme Truth, then it actually has no value ultimately, and it will be disappointing, and the time will pass and will be in anxiety. But if it's in relationship to Krishna, whatever so-called time is passing, we'll feel this fulfillment and ecstasy, in movement, out of happiness, out of joy. You know, it's like we have these festivals here, and you know, you finish one festival, and then the next festival's coming. And there's no lamentation or anxiety, except there is anxiety. There's anxiety that next time it should be better, right? The Prabhupada told this, one devotee asked Prabhupada that, "Prabhupada, sometimes we get an anxiety about this book distribution, that, you know, we're not able to do it as well as we like and everything." Prabhupada's, actually, this devotee was speaking on behalf of others. He was one of the leaders, and he said, "You know, devotees get anxiety sometimes about their service, especially book distribution." Prabhupada said, "No, no, you tell them. This is spiritual anxiety." He said, just like Mother Yashoda, she's always in anxiety. You read in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, when Krishna is leaving, his pastime of leaving home for the day to go to the forest, And Mother Jashoda is chasing after him 7, 8, 10 times. You got your lunch? Yeah, I got my lunch. You know, just say, now you're gonna be careful today, right? You know, and you know, she stops him over and over and over again on the way. And when he leaves, she's always just thinking, like, is he okay? You know, where is he now? When's he gonna come back? And she's in anxiety all the time. Is some monkey gonna jump on him? You know, all these things. Where is he now? So, but that's not ordinary anxiety. That's spiritual anxiety, and that's saguna, in relationship to Krishna, the absolute truth. And not in relation to the bodily conception of life, where this kind of anxiety actually is painful in a material sense. Ramaswamy.
Just one more thing. It is said that the spiritual world, especially with reference to Krishna, it is said that Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes are all the same. So they cannot be differentiated from each other. Is that something to do with not passing
away
time?
Where, give a citation of where you're, which verse you're coming, where you got that. You said it says somewhere that his name, form, pastimes are not different. So what? Which verse? That's important because then we can look at the context, you know, what you mean. They're absolute, but there's difference at the same time. It's a chinta beta bait. I mean, yes, Akurna.
This one doesn't exactly refer to nam rupa, but there's the angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti, that each of the limbs are complete in themselves. And the way the translation says, each one in himself, like the limb is itself as a person. They can perform all the functions of the others. There's another one that says that.
So it means they're interchangeable. All his, you know, his, like when the forest fire started in Vrindavan and all the cowherd boys were very much afraid, how did Krishna speak to them? Who knows that story? The forest fire started, yes. Yeah, but he spoke to them also at one point, but he spoke through his eyes, actually, as it's described. So he did tell them to close their eyes, and he saved them from the forest fire. He inhaled the whole thing. He swallowed it, actually. But, you know, Krishna could speak through his eyes. He can he can eat through his ears. Like, you know, just by hearing our prayers, he can take, you know, food. Go ahead.
He's an undifferentiated entity, as there's no distinction between the potency and the possessor thereof. Mm. That's, 33 or something like that?
Eko pyasaura chaditam.
No,
yasya prabha.
Yeah, these are all at the beginning of the. So this. You know, the potency and the possessor are non-different, and the different features of that form are also non-different. Yeah, 35. Ekopi saura chaitun jagadanta potin yach chakti rasti jagadanta jayayadantaha andantaras papramana jayantarastam govindamadi purisham kamaham bhajami. He is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. So, these aren't exactly talking about namrup, lila, rasa, like that yet, but we're also talking about the nature of absolute existence, that everything is also non-different.
You know, this is the nature of the spiritual energy and of Krishna, that although he's absolute one, like you say, how is it that he has form, but he's all-pervading? And therefore, we find in the Sri Upanishad, tadejati tadnayajati tadure tadvantike tadantarasya sarvasya tadusarvasya sibai. Supreme Lord walks and he does not walk. He's far away, but he's very near as well. He's within everything, yet he's outside of everything. These are inconceivable statements meant to actually, as Hridayananda Maharaj, to prevent us from speed reading, you know, through some of these shastras. You stop and go, wait a minute, he walks but he does not walk. What does that mean? You know, practically, it's almost like one of those Buddhist koans, You know, obviously the sound of one hand clapping. What does that mean? You know, we're meant to contemplate and see that, you know, as Lord Brahma, who's, we talked about this last week, he's the most intelligent being in the universe. He has four heads. He's studied the Vedas thoroughly, and he knows Sanskrit. And he's come up with this verse, Atapite deva padam buja dvaya prashara leshanu grihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahim no nachanya ekam pichuro bachimban. He says, after he tried to trick Krishna, we talked about this last time, he thought, this can't be the Supreme Personality of God, he's just a little boy. He stole away the calves and the cowherd boys, and then later on Krishna revealed his nature to him to some degree, and he saw that those coward boys and calves had expanded from Krishna again to exactly replicate the other ones who Brahma had stolen away. And then he saw that they were actually Narayan forms, and the Narayans were emanating from the body of Krishna. And then he realized that he, as he said, compared to the sun, my power, Brahma says, is like a glowworm. You know, he thought, I have some power, but I'm actually just like a glowworm. And then he said this verse, Ata pite deva padam buja dvaya, ata eva. Therefore, certainly, it means ata eva. Ata pite deva padam buja dvaya. He says, he's praying to the lotus feet of Krishna, padam buja dvaya, these two lotus feet. He says, prashada leshanu grihita eva hi, that janati tatvam, I can only understand some of the truth about you if I get this. Lesha means a trace of what? Prashad. Some mercy comes down to me from you. Prashada leshanu grihita evahi. If I can receive just a trace of the mercy from your lotus feet, then janati tatvam bhagavan mahim no. I can understand, or anyone, if they get a little bit of mercy from you, can understand the nature of the Supreme Truth. Otherwise, if you speculate for a long time, he says, you still won't come to this conclusion. As also, we have verses like this in the Brahma Samhita, where Brahma is saying the same thing, that great yogis, they may meditate for so long, but they can't come to understand Krishna through this speculative process. It's descending process. So we have to have received some mercy, yes. Are all the same?
Yeah.
I don't know which one he's referring to, but he can find it. But yes.
I actually heard it from Harinama Chintamani, where Haridas Thakur explains.
Microphone.
This is from Harinama Chintamani, where Haridas Thakur explains the how to chant and different kinds of offenses while chanting to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There he explains that there is actually no difference between all this. And while chanting, if one fully realizes that there is, initially he's just hearing. And then in the next stage is actually he sees the form of Krishna in the name itself. The next step is he sees the qualities of Krishna within the name. And then finally he sees the past tense of Krishna also within the name. Then when one sees all this four within the name, then he has fully realized that name really.
Yes, and of course we know from studying the Namashtakam of Rupa Goswami that there's distinction within non-distinction. And where is that in the Namashtakam? We have some real aces in the front row today. Okay, let's look at this. The Namashtakam, and we'll find where there's some distinction within this absolute non-distinct. Okay, it's the green tab. And if you turn to text number 6, after the green tab, it starts, as Hari Guru Prabhu has pointed out, Vacham Vachakam, and give him the microphone to Hari Guru. Yeah, just, yeah, give us the verse and then the...
Vachyam vachakam idi udeti bhagato nama swarupa dvayam purvasmat karme vahanta karunam tatra pichani mahe yastasmin mihita parada niuha prani samantat bhave asyanenam upasya so pihi samant sadanandam buddhau marchati. O holy name, you manifest two forms, the supreme person you designate and the sound vibration that designates. We know that the second form is more merciful than the first, because even if a person offends your first form in many ways, you plunge him into an ocean of transcendental bliss if he serves your second form with his voice.
Give your purport.
I always had this, some time back, I had a discussion with one of my friends as to which sense is more powerful, and what is the sense without which you want people to live. And Prabhupada had mentioned in one of his purports that the sense of sound is the most important, because that's the way to receive knowledge. And he gives the example that, for example, take a situation where a person is sleeping, and the only way you can wake him up is through sound, and there is no other way you can wake him up. And that's one of the justifications given to say that this sound is very significant. And so I guess that's also one of the inspirations for Rupa Goswami to mention that the incarnation of the sound form is particularly very beneficial.
That's nice.
For the conditioned souls, because that's what is going to shake your heart and clean the dust in your heart.
That's really a nice interpretation.
Yeah.
And you know, it goes towards one of the earlier verses that is number 3. Yadabaso pyudyan kabilita bhava dvanta vibhavo drisham tatva danam api dishati bhakti pranayanim, that if, O Son of the Holy Name, even a dim glimmer of your splendor swallows the powerful darkness of material life and gives those who are blind to the truth the vision to follow the path of pure devotional service. Means that, in one sense, the Holy Name, although it's absolute, non-different from Krishna's form, is what this verse is saying. And according to the wonderful commentary we've been given by Hari Guru Prabhu, that in a sense, that the Holy Name has an agenda. He's aggressive in a way. He's actually come after us. You know, Golokeya Prema Dhan Harinam Sankirtan. He comes, you know, although we've, as, you know, we've forsaken Krishna, as the verse says, we've turned away from him. Bhayam Dvitya Abhini Beshatasya Ashara Petasya Viparyo Smriti. We've turned away. We've turned our head from God. This is ignorance or ignorance. And so, now Krishna has actually come after us in the form of sound. So he's saying that sound can penetrate everywhere, even a sleeping person. And somebody's walking down the street, even they have their iPod on, that sound will penetrate, especially a loud Harinam. That's why Brihat Madanga is recommended. And the books also, they get in. Like the other day when we went on door-to-door Sankirtan, one lady... I heard her. She was trying to open the door, but I didn't know it was a lady at the time. But somebody was trying to open the door. It was the strangest thing, but they couldn't open it. It was like the knob was going over and over again, but it wouldn't open. And finally, it opened a crack, and I could understand the whole situation because I've seen it before. And inside, there was an old lady, and she had Alzheimer's or some kind of dementia where, you know, she really wasn't there, but she knew to kind of try to open the door, but she couldn't do it. And there was a nurse with her. And the nurse was kind of intimating to me that, like, it's no use, you know. Like, she doesn't know what's going on. Like, that was the body language and everything she was intimating to me. But, you know, the book went through the crack in the door anyway. And the lady with Alzheimer's, you know, she grabbed onto the book, like, and she wouldn't let go of it. And the... I mean, wouldn't let go of it means because the nurse was thinking, like, give it back because it's no use, you know. And I was saying, no, keep it. And the nurse was trying to push it back through. And then the lady with Alzheimer's wouldn't let it go. And I was like, okay, keep it, just get the door closed, you know, so it stays in there. And this is kind of like Krishna's mood, you know, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about how the holy names descended to save everyone, you know, and the mission of the acharyas is to take this town to town, you know, and broadcast it. This song we sing about how they go out in the morning and they're singing out to the still sleeping townspeople, and how we hear about the original sankirtan of the Lord. You know, the people were complaining and saying, what is all this racket, you know? And however, then they all started chanting. Even the Muslims would come and say, you know, they'd go back and report, they're chanting Hari Hari and Hari Krishna and Hari Krishna. They say, yeah, but why are you chanting? It's like, we can't stop chanting, you know? Everyone's chanting. So the holy name is more merciful in a sense. He's making a distinction. So in the spiritual realm, it's one. It's Vedanti tat tattva vidas tatvam yad gyanamadvayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagamaniti shabdya. It's advaya gyan tattva. Means there's no difference. It's one thing. Just like in India, you go and all you can eat there is rice and dal. But if you go to South India, you're going to eat idli, which is what? Rice and dal mixed together. If you go to North India, you're going to eat rice and dal, but it's rice and dal. You know? So there's Vedanti tat tattva vidas. It comes in all different forms. There's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then there's the localized Paramatma, and then there's the Supreme Brahman. So this is achintya bheda bheda. And what does achintya mean in that sense of a bheda bheda? Achintya means that it's non-speculative. You can't reach it by your speculation. That's what it means. It's achintya. Achintya means to, use your consciousness, your own power of intellect to reach something. And it's achintya. You can't do that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't write very much. He wrote the Shikshashtakam. And it's a bhakti process. It's the process of the heart to worship Krishna and wait for his mercy. Hoping that the mercy will descend and we remain humble servants, that we can't reach some conclusion. However, there is philosophy as well, and it explains how the Supreme Truth, although he's one, at the same time he's different. How is it that we're parts and parcels of Krishna? Mamai vamsho jiva loki jiva bhuta sanatana. Start the discussion, how did we get to the material world and how are we parts and parcel of Krishna? You know, we're Krishna, but we're not Krishna. You'll be here all day. I guarantee, all week, all month, all year. It's achintya, practically, until it's revealed, the nature of that. And within the rasa, or the relationships Krishna has with his devotees, they're described by the Goswamis, how there are five different distinct rasas, starting with Shantaras, or this, rasa that devotees have with Krishna out of they're admiring him. They're but it's inactive. There's not a sense of service. They're just in awe of Krishna, and they're feeling this all the time, how Krishna is so awesome, and they're thinking of him. And then there's the service, and then it thickens, and then there's more qualities to it, and then there's a sense of friendship, and then there's this vatsalya of parental affection, where there are more qualities added in. Then the conjugal relationship is all of the qualities together. However, it's explained, although those are there and devotees are in different relationship, each devotee feels fully satisfied. It's not that, a devotee in Vatsalya Ras is thinking, I got ripped off or something, that I got the wrong rasa or something like that. But no, each one is feeling completely satisfied. Hanuman is feeling that, that's who he is. That's his relationship, his connection with Krishna. Sanityo nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. Each living entity has an eternal relationship with Krishna in a certain way, and it's fully satisfying. But one can also distinguish through philosophy and say, okay, look at the different distinctions. And appreciate also, while still being satisfied in one's own position of service, whatever that is. So this is the ocean of the material, of the spiritual world, the nectarian ocean, wherein the Goswamis describe that there are many aquatics. These impersonalists want to come down into the ocean and merge and say, okay, now the drop of water has become one ocean. Now I just am the ocean, and that's it. But do you want to become a sugar cube, or do you want to taste a sugar cube? And the devotees, they enter into that ocean, but they're like aquatics. And if you've ever looked within the ocean, there's more life in the ocean than there is outside the ocean. Supposedly, oceanographers have only cataloged 10% of the life within the ocean. I don't know how they know that, but it may be just some kind of estimation, but the point is there, it's unlimited. You know, there are crevasses that go down that are deeper than the mountains are high on the earth, and there are mountains within the ocean, and there's all kinds of... So in the spiritual world, too, there's unlimited variety, although it's one, and it's one spiritual energy at the same time, but the unlimited variety of rasa is there. And unlimited distinction is there also. Just as there's unlimited distinction within this world, just become an ornithologist for a while, and you'll find you'll never come to the end of the variety of birds in this world. What are the birds? What are birds, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, in relationship to Krishna? In the universal form, it's described how birds are the artistic sense of the Lord. Yeah, you look around, yeah.
And there's a statue for the Emmy, which is an award that they give for television. And they have it has a winged person, and then it has like an atom with electrons going around. And the wings are supposed to be the artistic sense, the artistic spirit, and the atom is supposed to be the electron of science, because television was by electrons, you know. But anyway, when you said the wings are the artistic sense, it reminded me that somebody had that even in creating the statue that they give for awards for television.
Yeah, and so this, you know, you could see unlimited variety in this world. The people are unlimitedly fascinated. You know, you could take 1 inch of Earth here, anywhere on this planet, and study it for the rest of your life. Write 3 PhD theses before you drop dead. You know, just about the microbes or the, you know, what are the minerals there? Where do they come from? Every part of nature is actually, material side is achintya. What to speak of the spiritual world, where Krishna describes how this is the reflection of that. You know, so the variety is there in the spiritual world, but it's advaya gyan tattva. It's non-dual substance. It's all Brahman, but it's unlimitedly variegated and full of taste, full of rasa. You know, rasa means variety. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. And so there are unlimited living entities, because Krishna is the unlimited Purusha, and he requires unlimited pleasure. So where does he get that pleasure? From unlimited varieties of relationships with unlimited devotees, eternally. And each living entity, just as every atom in this universe is different from every other atom. That, by the way, is Vaisheshika philosophy. It means Vishesha, uniqueness. There's uniqueness within everything, within every element of the world. There's uniqueness within every soul that's expanded. There's no soul. There's no snowflake the same. There's no grain of sand the same. There's no atom the same. There's no raindrop the same. There's no city the same. Every city you go to, although they've tried to make it the same, there's a Starbucks in every city. And there's a, you know, all these, it's still, you can't take the New Yorkness out of New York. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti koti shashesha vasudadi vibhuti niman. Brahma says, you look at this creation everywhere you go, every town, every village, every planet, every universe, it's different. It's got difference to it. That's where ananda comes from, variety. And it's all for Krishna's enjoyment. It's going on unlimitedly like that. Yes, Raksha?
They are different because they are reflecting to different intensities the energy of Krishna.
Yeah, ekopya saura charitum jagadanda kotim yach chakti rasti jagadanda chaya iranta. It's all material or spiritual. It's all Krishna's energy. And a devotee of the Lord doesn't, you know, he sees them all as Krishna's energy. That I'm thinking, Ishapanishad, yes tu sarvani bhutani, atmani vanu pashyati, sarva bhuteshu chatmanam. Those who come at 6 o'clock on Wednesdays know this verse. The devotee of the Lord sees everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord, all his energies. So let's move on to the Srimad Bhagavatam, otherwise we'll be delinquent in actually going through. Yes, Gabriel.
Vatsalya Rasa. What is Vatsalya Rasa?
Vatsalya Rasa? Vatsalya rasa is the rasa of parenthood for Krishna. And just as you know, Prabhupada explains that, you know, who does more service, the child or the parents? Does the child do more service to the parent? Any parents in here can say, does the child do more service for the parents, or the parents do more service for the child? Of course, in your case, I don't know. We can say, but what is it? What do you say, parents? Who does more service? Cover Pooja's ears. Parents or children do more service? The parents do more service. I think so. Yeah. So therefore, it's higher. What stage of life they're in? Yeah. The Krishna's a baby and a youth. You know, in his childhood, Mother Yashoda is doing so much service for Krishna. And it's there in such an intense way. You know, the parents are so attached to the child. You know, it's like they're one. You can't divide the two. It's very, very intense. This is Vatsalya Ras. It comes from the spiritual world. It comes from Krishna's relationship with his parents. And so, anyway, this is all explained in Nectar Devotion. And by the way, we've ordered 50 or 100 Nectar Devotions since they're temporarily out of print here. And I contacted Ananda Rupa, and he's going to send them over from India.
Aye.
So we'll have overflowing stock of Nectar Devotions soon, so everyone can start studying Nectar Devotion. And we'll probably start a Nectar Devotion class. And that will happen soon. Okay, so let's move on to the Srimad Bhagavatam.